All right. I don't know about you, but I am really in the Christmas mood. I know we just came off of Thanksgiving, but I told my wife, I said, we got to get a jump on it this year. At our house, things get real busy. I'm sure it does at your house right as we go into the Christmas season. In fact, we just might go get our tree today. I think that's our plan. But really excited about things that are coming up. Just want to highlight one thing that you just heard about for the first time. And that is that next month, on December the 20th, which is the Sunday before Christmas, we're going to do something different this year. We're actually going to have an evening service on that Sunday. We'll have our normal Sunday morning, of course, but we're going to add to it an evening service on Sunday evening to have a special Christmas communion and candlelight service. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to have luminaries out in front of the church. We'll begin at 6 o'clock, but there will be before that we'll have a time of fellowship, a meet and greet that will precede the service. That'll begin at 5:30, so you can come in here and get some hot apple cider, some hot chocolate, and just some time of fellowship. And then at 6 o'clock we'll begin a one-hour communion service. We'll have a reception following that, but just be a great time before the Christmas day hits. We're not going to do it on Christmas Eve. I know a lot of you are busy and have different plans going on, but I think that it would really be wonderful if we can do this. I think also this, it affords us a wonderful opportunity to invite others to a candlelight service. A lot of people traditionally love to go to that type of a service. I think it's probably a little more inviting in the evening than in the morning. So also luminaries outside. You know what luminaries are, don't you? Okay, those things work better at night. Right? Okay. So I really hope that you'll mark your calendars, make plans to be there, but also just as important and maybe even more so important, and that is invite people to come to this. We'll be putting some tools in your hands to help you with that as that day gets closer to us. But I just wanted to make sure that you mark that on your calendar, December the 20th, that evening to come and be with us, and believe it's just going to be a wonderful time, just filled with music, filled with just a brief word about the meaning of Christmas. There'll be an opportunity for people to come to Christ. We're going to have communion again. It's just going to be a wonderful time, so be sure and be a part of that. Today, again, is our Encounter Sunday, and so I'm doing a standalone message, not part of a series. And what I'm speaking to you about today is on the idea of God's presence. Not just an idea, it's a reality. I want to talk to you about the reality of the presence of God. And here we are in an encounter service. And our hope, our goal is today that you will encounter Him. And in this season of Christmas, our hope is that you will encounter God's presence. Because really, that's what Christmas and that's what life is really all about. You know, we get all involved in going shopping and buying gifts and getting gifts. But the interesting thing is, you know, when it's somebody's birthday, we usually give him gifts, and the birthday boy or the birthday girl the gifts. Well, guess what? It's his birthday. And so I want us to think about, you know, the fact that oftentimes we've gotten this thing just really twisted as to what way this thing should all work. And I want us to understand what the importance of really of Christmas is. It's all about Him, and it's about the greatest gift that God gave to us, His Son, Jesus Christ, and He gave us new life. And for the Christian, it should be the happiest time of the year. But for many of us, and sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes even for Christians, sometimes it can be the emptiest time of the year. They say that this month is one of the highest suicide rates of all the year combined in the month of December. It seems to be that, you know, we have problems all year long, but it seems like sometimes the holidays just sort of highlights these things more than it normally does. And I want us to see, though, that Thanksgiving and Christmas, this season, it should be a time of being filled to the brim. But oftentimes, it's a time of great loneliness. There's emptiness. And when I think about loneliness, when I think about emptiness, I realize that there may be that something is just missing. It's missing. You know, what could be missing that we feel empty? Some people feel lonely in a crowd of a lot of people. You know, you could be in a crowd of a lot of people, but still feel very lonely and all alone. But what is missing with that? Yet John 10 and 10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And that means that I've come that you might have life, but that also it would be full, it would be abundant. We could have a life that would be overflowing. We know that when Jesus came to this earth, we read the scripture that he came that on earth, that he offers peace and goodwill toward men. And yet oftentimes there's no peace. Oftentimes our peace is based on situations. It's circumstantial peace. It's elusive. It gets away with us. And yet Jesus, when he was here, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. And so what is it that's missing? And I would present to you that I believe that what is missing more than anything else in our life is the presence of God. God's presence, we know, is everywhere. But if God's presence is everywhere, why does oftentimes he seem so far away? And where is God? And here's the thing, where God is, we know this. When God is present, we will have peace, right? We know that when God is present, that we will have joy. We know that when God is present, actually life is going to be pleasurable and enjoyable. And let me give you a scripture for this. And we don't have notes written out for you today, a standalone message, but we have in your worship guide, we have just a blank sheet there. You could take some notes and write these scriptures down if you like these locations and look at this later. Look at Psalm 16:11. It says this, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And in your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. So he says, in your presence, then, we should be experiencing joy. We should be experiencing the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. So life should be full, right? And in your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. That means that, look, we should be enjoying life. And I love this because it says that that's forever. That lasts forever. So that means that in God's presence, and that's something that we're going to enjoy forever, we're going to have fun. Everybody say fun. There's fun. It's fun in his presence. There is enjoyment in his presence. There is enjoyment and there's joy. And there's peace in his presence. And so yet, but though we look around us oftentimes and that seems to be eluding us, doesn't it, at times? We all know that. There's times where sometimes it just seems to move away from us. I think oftentimes we look too much around us. I had this thought this week. We need an upward look. We need an upward look. And this scripture came to my mind in Psalm 27 that where David said, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he didn't say, I saw the goodness of the Lord. He said, unless I believe. Now, we could see the goodness of the Lord, but sometimes it takes faith because our eyes are often blinded by problems, by this world, by things around us. And David said, I had to exercise some faith, and I would have despaired unless I had believed to see. I couldn't see it in my own circumstances, but I had to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he calls it the land of the living. And oftentimes we feel like, well, I feel like I'm dying, not living, and I'm dying on the inside. There's an emptiness, and life is tough, and I'm smiling on the outside, but on the inside, man, something's just not right. Something is missing. Here's what I do know. I do know this, and that is that God's will is that he resides with us. His will is that we experience his presence. He wants to be with us. It's evident throughout Scripture. God made us in the very beginning when he made us. The Bible records that he would come down and he would walk in the garden in the cool of the day. God wants to be with us. God wants to be with us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. But first of all, he came to be born in a manger because he wanted to be with us, and he walked with us and lived with us and talked with us. Then he went to the cross for us, all because he wants to be with us and have a relationship with us. So in his presence, we know we can experience peace and joy and enjoyment of life and fulfillment of life. So why are those often lacking? And I believe the answer, could it possibly be, the answer would be that there's a lack of his presence in our life. Now, I know we're sitting here. Most of us are probably are all Christians. We love and know the Lord. But I want us to just consider this for a moment. Today, again, is an encounter service. And we want to be able to encounter his presence. But the truth is, you may encounter him or you may not. You know, you may encounter great music. You may encounter cool lights. You may encounter phenomenal preaching. I always like to pause there. You know, I just try to, you know. You may encounter friendly people, but still miss him. Jesus walked on this earth, and some encountered who he was, his presence, and some did not. Right? Some recognized who he was, and some didn't. He came to this earth, and there was no room in the inn. They didn't recognize that a king was born. So some will allow him in and allow him that access, and others will not. And why would he not have access to our life? Why can he not have relationship with us? Why would his presence not come and be able today? Let's think about this. Why would his presence not be able to fill our lives, our homes, our minds, our hearts? Why would, what would it be that would keep his presence out? And I got to present something to you because I think this is it. And I know that this may land kind of, there may be an ouch with this word. Here we are, Christians on our way to heaven. But there's this word called sin. It's a three-letter word, sin. I think it's sin. And whatever form that takes for you, I mean, the Bible describes three categories, the pride of life, the pride of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh. It could be pride. It could be selfishness. It could be a sin of commission, or it could be a sin of omission, but sin. I want us to consider this, and I want us to think, just take just a moment to think about this and what sin does. Sin separates. Sin separates. You might want to write that down. Sin separates. And here's the thing. It separates, first of all, you from others. It separates you from others. Sin, however way you want to look at that word, it in a relationship where there's conflict, where there has been an offense, where you did something wrong, or maybe they did something wrong, when that occurs, you no longer want to, oftentimes you don't want to be around that person. There was an offense between you and them, and so now you're going through the grocery store, and you spot them, you see them, and what do? You go, oh, so-and-so's here. Let's go down this aisle. Let's see if we can get out of here before they see us or we see them. Now, don't sit there holier than thou looking at me like I'm just saying, right? Right? We have that feeling of, ugh, I just don't want to deal with that. So what is going on there? There is a separation. You don't want to be near that person. So sin separates. And so it erodes your peace. It erodes your joy. Things we're talking about that we need to be experiencing this time of season. We think about going to a family event for Thanksgiving or Christmas and, oh, we're going to have to deal with that. Every family's got one, right? Right? Okay. Sin separates. Here's another thing it does. Sin separates you from God. Because here's the thing. When there's sin between you and another person, guess what? There's also sin between you and God. Because you can't sin against somebody else and not be sinning against God, because that scripture that we all know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And it was, for God so loved, not just I picked this one and that one. No, God so loved the world. He loves everyone. And so when we are at odds with his creation, guess what? We're at odds with him. Here's another thing. Sin separates not only you from others and you from God, but sin separates you from yourself. From yourself. Now that may sound a little odd, but the fact is, oftentimes there's conflict within ourself. We don't have peace within ourself because of sin. And so, you know, we've all said that phrase, if I ever blank, whatever that may be, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. You ever say that? If I ever did that, I would not be able to, because it represents there's a low self, there's no self-esteem. You can't look at yourself in the mirror because sin separates. Let me present to you a second thing that sin does. Sin not only separates, but sin separates by substituting. Sin separates by substituting. Think about it. So because of sin, we substitute pleasure for fulfillment. We substitute people for things. We substitute images for intimacy. We substitute experience for exclusivity. We separate the immediate even for the ultimate. Here's the deal. Sin makes a promise that sin can't keep. Because sin presents itself saying, well, this is better, and your way is better, and what you're thinking is better, and you're going to live life this way. And sin presents these things just like it did in the very beginning, with the promise that you're going to be happier, that you're going to have more peace, that you're going to be more fulfilled. But sin makes a promise that sin can't meet. And sin is not your friend. Write that one down. Sin is not your friend. Sin kills relationships, and sin kills your peace. Look at James, what James said, the brother of Jesus said in James chapter 1, verse 15. He says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And so you got this little baby sin, and you carry it around, and you cradle it, you call it. It won't hurt anybody. It's fine. I can get away with this. It's okay. But look what happens. He says that it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. And oftentimes we see in our lives, we observe it in our own lives and the lives of others, where you see wrong choices being made in sin, and you think it's okay, and it may seem to be okay for a day, but the handwriting's on the wall. When that thing is fully blown, and you say, and then you get there and you say, how did we get here? And now we're in this place where we have no peace, right? No joy, no rest. And the presence of God, where is God? And it's because of sin. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. Let me give you some scripture here. You can jot these down. Isaiah 59 says this, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And if you think I'm standing up here pointing fingers and we're all like, you know, these people talking about these dirty, downright sinners, let's just all get in this club together, because Romans chapter 3 says this, all, everybody say all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 says the same thing in verse 10. It says, there is no one righteous, not even one. But I want to give you some hope today. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says this, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. And let me just pause right there, because we understand this. Here we are, and there's this issue of sin. And the Bible says we were even born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And wherever, here's what we know, wherever there is sin, there is death. Right? Some of you have killed a relationship, right? Some of you have killed a career or killed your bodies, right? Our bodies. Some of us have killed a relationship with our kids or with a boss. So when sin shows up, death is on its heel when sin shows up, when we do it our way and not God's way. And it's why some can't get along with ourselves. Sin has killed a relationship with ourselves, our self-esteem. We've killed our discipline. There's something that's not right there. There's no peace there. And so there's this gap. There's this gap between us and God. You remember we used to have these tracts that we would hand out. Remember those tracts that had, you know, God over here and we're over here, and there's this big gap in between, and how do we bridge this gap? And the cross, and the next picture you'd see would be the cross laying across and bridging that gap to bridge the two together. There was this gap. Here's the thing. We're over here in this land of sin, and God's over here in this kingdom of righteousness. And I want us to see it that way. Because really, if you think about this thing, not just your own individual sin, we're all sinners and we're all born in this nation, if you will, this nation of sin. I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about the nation of sin, okay? We're born in this place of sin. And how do you get to the kingdom of God's righteousness? How do you get there? I mean, it's more than behavioral change. Have any of you ever, you know, met somebody from Australia, and have you ever tried to fake it and talk like you're from Australia? You can't do it, and they'll know. Or from South Africa, or from wherever, and you try to, learning the language, it doesn't make you a citizen of that nation. By talking the talk and by behaving in a certain way doesn't make you a citizen of that nation. To be a citizen of that nation, you got to be really in its purest form. You got to be born there, right, to be a citizen of that nation, right? And so what God did was we were over here living in a place where God wanted us yet in the kingdom of his righteousness. And so something had to happen. And so God created a way in which we could really be born in that nation. And we call it being born again. It was a conversation that God had with Nicodemus. He said, we're going to start all over. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad that God gives do-overs? That you were here, and you were born there, and I get that. But in order for you to be a part of the kingdom of God, you need to be born in it. And Jesus came as the one who would step in and bridge the gap and be considered the firstborn for us. And give his life for us so that through him and through what he did, through his death, we could be born again. Isn't that amazing, guys? Isn't that amazing? And so now we have a new birth certificate that Jesus wrote with his own blood and declared that we are now citizens. We are now sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. I don't know about you guys, but that makes me just want to shout, right? Colossians chapter 1. Look with me at this one. For he has rescued us from the dominion, from the nation, from that country, from that place. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his son, of the son that he loves. And so how does he do that? Through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. That there is where everything changes. Look again now in Romans chapter 5, let's look at verse 19. For just as though through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. It's nothing that you can do of yourself. It's not through behavioral change. It's through faith in Jesus Christ that we come to know him. And look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have now, look at this, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God, not in anything what we've done, but what he has done. We now stand complete and whole in him. So it's not about behavior. Let's get this. You cannot behave your way into the kingdom of God. And I think oftentimes we look at it that way. You can't do that. Here's the point. Get this. Write this down. Peace with God begins with faith in Christ. So if you want to know God's peace, if you want to know God's presence, that's the only place you can find peace. It begins with faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. It's surrendering completely and having full faith in Him. And by the way, it's not just a belief system. Well, and I think all times we think, well, Christianity is just a belief system. They believe there is God. They believe Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, that's true. But it takes more than that. It's following Christ. Our goal around here and our mission statement is that we want everybody to be, look, fully devoted followers of Christ. Because even the devils believe in Him. That's not enough just to believe, but we now submit and we're obedient to Him. But it begins here. It begins with faith in Christ. And I want you to picture this. It's like a parent that so loves their child that they want what's best for them. And so a parent will not just say to a child who's doing wrong, it's okay, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's okay. Stay up as late as you want. Listen to whatever you want. Do whatever you want. I love you. It doesn't matter because I don't want any conflict with you. I don't want that road, that peace between you and me. So, you know, go ahead. I'm going to be out of town. Have all your friends over. Do whatever you want. You know, no, because you love the child so much, you want what's best for them. So at the expense of peace, the parent's willing to step into the room when the child has done wrong and say, I know what I'm about to say. There's not going to be peace here between us because of what I'm about to say. Because the parent loves that child enough. So God doesn't give us a pass when we've done things wrong and saying, well, it's okay. It's all right. It's cool. We're cool. No. When we do wrong, there's an erosion of that peace. And God's a good enough father that He steps in and says, that's not acceptable and that's not good. And so it is then comes up to us to be able to have the peace, and that is to be able to submit to that instruction and say, okay, you're a good Heavenly Father. You know what's best for me. And so, okay, I receive that. But how much of us in our own human instinct, human nature is resistant to correction? The Bible says that we're not to be weary of His correction because it's for our good. God paints this beautiful picture for us of His love for us in that He wants us to have peace and He presents itself as a Heavenly Father. God accommodates our capacity by saying, I'm a Heavenly Father, but I've opened my arms to say we can have peace, but it is through my Son, Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 6, says this, for the wages of sin is death, but look at this, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if the trespasses of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ? And then look at 1 John chapter 1, 6. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, okay, so I'm a Christian, I should have peace. But the Bible says if we claim to have fellowship or relationship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, that means we're doing things our own way against God's will, against God's word in our life. The Bible says we lie and do not live out the truth. We're lying. And that word live, you could put in there, we don't obey. In other words, God, I love you. I want all the benefits. I want your peace. I want your joy. I want all that in my life. But God, when it gets right down to it, I'm going to live it my way. I'm going to make my decisions. And I believe that's why we're not experiencing the presence of God that we're so desiring of. It eludes us because we're not living it out. And the Bible says, I mean, 1 John is pretty clear. It says you're a liar. That hurts, doesn't it? You're a liar. He says, if we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. We're not obeying the truth. So if we're not following Him, so it's not enough about making the decision and crying and saying, Lord, I give you my life. That's good. That's the starting point. But then the second part is we got to obey Him and go on to follow Him. And then there's another element, a part of this. Found in 1 John chapter 4, it goes right along with this. And whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So we're saying, well, I need God's peace, I need God's presence, but I don't like him and I don't like her, stay away from me. Blah, blah, blah. And we're on outs with one another and we're saying, where's the presence of God? We treat each other wrong throughout the week and then we come on Sunday and say, God, I just want your presence, I want to encounter you. But yet there's a separation there. And the Bible says you're still deceiving yourself, you're still a liar, it's still not working because it doesn't work there that way, all right? So here's the deal. Faith with God begins with faith in Christ. Peace with God begins with faith in Christ. To encounter his peace, to encounter that joy, to encounter his presence, it begins with faith in Christ. But get this, second thing is this. Peace with God is sustained by submission to Christ. Oh, you need to write that one down. We like writing that first one down. Go on, let's write the second one down. Faith or peace with God is sustained by submission to Christ. So the question here today is, first of all, have you made peace with God? Have you made peace with God? A second question might be, okay, I'm in a relationship with God, but are you at peace with God? Now, I believe that God is really wanting, again, to have that close, intimate relationship with us where we walk in his presence, not just in an encounter service, but we walk with him every part of our day, throughout our week, throughout our life. We enjoy the fellowship. The Bible describes it this way, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that he is with us, walking with us, talking with us in a joyous, fulfilling, peaceful relationship with God. I believe that God wants that, but often we're off doing our own thing. And I pray that this season, we're not just off just checking off the list and doing our own thing, and missing what this thing is really all about. I heard of a parent, a couple that their child went missing. And they were at the house, and the mother was like in a panic, and the father was trying not to panic. And they were saying, well, I'll go outside and I'll holler and see if I hear him. I mean, you do foolish, crazy things. You don't care what anybody thinks when you think your child is missing. And then one of them said, well, I'll call over to a neighbor's house and see if he's over there. And they called and said, their child's missing. And the parent that picked up the phone said, oh, it's okay. He's over here. He's over here. And immediately that anxiety just kind of, you know, subside. And in the background, here's what happened. The parent that picked up the phone that where the child was said, hey, your father is looking for you. And in the background, you could hear the child saying, but I'm not looking for him. And I think sometimes it's that way with us. You know, God's looking for us, but we're out looking for everything else. And I tell you, folks, in the midst of it all, we need to be still. Let the Holy Spirit check us. Say, where am I missing it? If I'm missing your presence, if I'm missing your peace, if I'm not overflowing with joy, and I don't mean that you have to be happy about everything that happens. We're not talking about that. But there needs to be in the midst of it all a joy and a peace. We need to have his presence in the midst of it all. And if somehow that is eluding us, we need to pause and say, God, check me. Where is there a separation? What is missing here, God? Where am I missing it? And allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to change us. I think too often what we do is when we're looking for peace, when we're looking for joy, sometimes we're looking for something under the tree. And when it's not there, you know, it's just empty. Or even after we've opened the boxes, and all the toys are broke by noon that we gave. You know, I mean, everything. And then it's just over. And there's this empty feeling left over at the end of it all. Folks, in the midst of it all, we need to understand that it is not found just under a tree. It's actually found at the foot of the tree. It's found at the foot of the cross. It's found at the foot of being in his presence and spending time in his presence in prayer and in worship and in his word. And fellowshipping with him, and then getting up from there and walking it out and living it out right? And seeing life change. Let me give you this scripture here. It's found in Psalm 16. You will make known to me the path of life. You will make known to me the path of life. And here it is again. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So here, let me give you 3 points and we're going to close. 3 quick points, and that's this. We need presence. We need God's presence, not practice. Right? Oftentimes we're just going through the mechanics of life. And we need his presence. Not just practicing the tenets of our faith. We need his presence in the midst of it all. Even in Acts, that scripture that I just read is repeated again by Peter when he says, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. So here's what we need to do. Number one, we need a desperation, and that is wanting God's way. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. They'll be filled. So God, grant to us a desperation of wanting not our way, but your way above everything else. So we get up in the morning and we say, God, you want me to do this? It's going to cost. It's going to sacrifice. This may hurt, but if that's what you want, God, that's what I'm going to do. I'm telling you how you can get God's presence back. I'm telling you how we can have peace again in the midst of it all. Number two, humility, wanting God's will, wanting God's will. Luke 22:42, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus prayed that prayer. God, not, Father, not what my flesh says this, but not my will, but your will be done. So being humble, saying, not my will, your will be done. Number three, repentance, wanting God's work. Psalm 51, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me, get this. This is our prayer, church. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Let's bow. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, God, for speaking to us, reminding us through your word where true peace is found, where true joy is discovered. God, only in your presence. One said, to whom shall we go? There's no one else we can go to, Lord. You're the one that has the words of life. God, it's not found in the abundance of things. It's not found in a location. It's not found in a position or a title. God, it's only found in the person, Jesus Christ. Today, help us. Because we have a carnal nature that we were born with, but God, you have given us a new nature through your Son Jesus. And I pray that today, by faith in you, God, we would deny that old nature and that we, oh Lord, would submit to your Holy Spirit, because that old nature will bring us to a place of death. But God, if we'll follow you now, you'll bring us to a place of life and the fullness of life like we've never known, and life will be fun again. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, help us to submit. Help us to be humble. Help us to allow your work to be done in our life. And I thank you, God, for doing that work for us 2,000 years ago when you died on the cross and you took it off of us. Took all the sin, all the weight of sin, all that turmoil, all that loneliness and emptiness. God, you've taken it away to fill us, God, with your presence. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to pray a prayer today, guys. I'd just like to pray over us. And I'd like us to invite Jesus to come in. Just take his rightful place in our heart. We hear the illustration about how he came to this earth and there was no room in the inn, and it really illustrates oftentimes there's just not room in our life. We're so busy. But to those that will allow him to come in, the Bible says that he stands at the door of our heart and knocks, but if we'll let him come in, we'll have fellowship, we'll have relationship. Life will be rich and full. Church, there's no one like Jesus. When you encounter him, there's nothing else that can compare. So as we're seated here today, I'd just like every one of us to pray this prayer, because we're all in need of a Savior. Just pray this with me. Come on, all of us out loud together. Say, Lord Jesus, today, I believe you are the Son of God. You came to have relationship with me. Today I accept your gift of life. I turn from my way and my will, and I accept that gift. Thank you for forgiving me of going my own way. Today I declare I'm a follower of Christ. I declare you the Lord of my life. Fill me with your peace. And I will follow you as you help me all the days of my life.